All right, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, mightily for your word in our lives, for the lamp for our feet, for the fact that you guide us through this life. We ask you, Lord, for your encouragement, for your challenging now, that your spirit may speak to us to help us know the ways that you want us to go. We ask you, Lord, that as we read this and expound upon it, that you bless us during this time, that it is what you want us to hear. And if it's not, we pray that it is forgotten. For you, Lord, are the greatest thing in our lives. And we thank you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 23. Hear now God's word. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I got, for Christmas, I got a lot of books, which is all right. I like books. Stephen King, the books I got. I got the first four books of the Dark Tower series and The Shining. I look forward to reading those. When I was a kid, much younger, my favorite author wasn't Stephen King. It was my dad's favorite author, Louis L'Amour. Anyone familiar? Louis L'Amour? Yeah? Love Louis L'Amour. He wrote, near 100 books, I swear. One of my favorite things about Louis L'Amour is that all of his books, most of his books are short, about 120 pages or so. Decent books. He got some longer ones. You read one Louis L'Amour, you read all Louis L'Amour. They're very, very similar. The hero in them are all the same. They're tall men between the height of 6'1 and 6'4, broad shoulder, thin waist. They are cut like a V. When they ride their horse, they ride their horse straight up and down. They're kind to women and children, kind to animals. They never waste anything. They take only what they need. They're respectful, chivalrous, but tough, and you don't mess with them. They take no guff. All the same. But also, many of them at the end of the books disappear, either with a woman that they fell in love with or what have you. But they come into town, and then after they fix whatever trouble they accidentally run into, or on purpose sometimes, they go away. They've done their job. And there's a lot of cliche movies and storylines just like that. You got a problem that needs fixed. The hero comes in, fixes the problem, and then after the problem's fixed, they go away. One of my favorite stories like this, one of the things that I do to my kids And when I chose my words very carefully, I do to my kids, I make them watch the older movies. Older to them, not necessarily older to us. I made my kids sit down one day and watch Mary Poppins. It's a wonderful classic. It doesn't translate well to this generation. It moves very, very slow. But overall, they liked it. Mary Poppins, though, is one of those cliche storylines. Something needs fixed. Mary Poppins comes in and fixes it. And at the end, much to Mary Poppins' chagrin, I mean, she's not happy about it. She's got to go away. She leaves. They don't need me anymore, she says. Everything's good now. And so she goes away. Now, the one thing that I'd love about Christmas time is that we anticipate for so long this one day, for at least 4 weeks starting in Advent, we anticipate Christmas. And we do everything we can to get Christmas just right. And we work hard. I've read articles this year about the stresses and the issues and all the problems that Christmas brings. And it's fascinating. It's not an easy holiday. It's an exhausting holiday. And once everything's ready, we got Christmas Day. And it's such a, well, it in itself is a stressful day off oftentimes. Got to get dinner ready, got to get the presents done, you got to do this, got to do that. The day after Christmas, when all the celebrations are done, there's a sense of... Sometimes that's a positive thing, and other times it's kind of a letdown. You know, what's left? What else? You know, you work so hard to fill to get this one day, and then once that day's done, it's nothing. And sometimes that time before Christmas and in between Christmas and New Year's, what do? It's over. The problem's fixed. The hero went away. It's done. What's left? That's why I love our scriptures so much. It's in our lectionary reading for today. Joseph was told by Jesus, marry this woman even though she's pregnant, for the child is not hers nor is yours, child's mine. And I want you to raise him as your own because he's going to be the salvation for all people. Joseph did that. The child was born. We celebrate the nativity. That helps to tell the story of how the child was born. The angels, the shepherds, the wise men, Mary, Joseph, the animals, the manger itself with the straw tells a beautiful story about how God prepared the entire world for the birth of his son. And it took a lot of planning. Star had to rise up in the sky. Angels had to be sent out to all the people, had to be sent out to Zechariah, to Elizabeth, to have John born, had to be sent out to Mary and convince her, had to be sent out to Joseph and convince him. The shepherds had to be bothered in their field. The angels had to practice in their heavenly chorus so that when they sang in front of the shepherds, it was just right. Everything had to be prepared, swaddling clothes, the taxation. Everything had to be just right. And it was good. Jesus was born. The shepherds were shocked. Mary and Joseph, Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. God did a good job. But what I like about the story of Christmas is God wasn't done. Everything was fixed. Problem solved, Jesus born, but the hero didn't leave. God continued to do God's purpose. Herod was going to come in and kill all the people, all the children to try and get Jesus. So God intervened and sent Mary and Joseph off to Egypt. After Herod died, God intervened once again, told Joseph and Mary to come back. When Archelaus was made ruler, God told Joseph, don't live here instead. The one thing that I love that Christmas shows me throughout my life every year is that when December 25th is done, that by no means that God's work is done. I love the fact that when Jesus came into my life and helped me with so much, that God didn't just say, "All right, Justin, I think you got it. Good luck. I'm going to go help somebody else now." It's not like that. It's never been like that. I once, before I became a pastor and would dream about having kids. Well, no, not before I became a pastor. Before I really understood, let's say that. When my kids were 2, 3 years old, and kids who are 2 or 3 years old are annoying. They change your life. They're not easy. They require so much to help them. And I kept on thinking, boy, I can't wait till they're 18 and I don't have to be their parent anymore. Right? You laugh because you know the truth of it. Even though, as I helped my son to ride a bike, I grabbed hold of that back seat and we ran down the street together. And when I felt like he got his balance, I let go of that seat and I said, "Good luck, I think you got this." And he did. He had it. Even though I'm not holding that seat anymore, I'm still his dad. And when he turns 18 and they both turn 18 and go to college and get a job, get it, whatever God's got planned for them, I will still always be their parent. I will always be there with them. God's not this hero that comes into our life, helps fix things, and then when it's good, leaves. That's not the story of Christmas. Jesus is born into the world. God did what God wanted to do, and now God's out. The wonderful thing about the day after Christmas is remembering that Christ is still there, that God is still active and working, that even though God helped us through whatever difficult times, God's still helping us through. I love that Christmas is at the end of the year. As we look forward to a new year, we know that we don't go through the new year alone, that God just didn't leave, but that God is present with us as we look forward to whatever tomorrow might bring. God's with us, now and always, taking each step, holding us and supporting us every step of the way. And I pray that we remember that whatever we face this year, because Christ has got this and will continue to get it every day. And we thank God for that.